Blog Talk Radio.
It was very late at night. I was sitting outside on a rock. As Stan said, I showed him the rock when he came to my home. And I was just thinking, what did I do? I was crying so my family wouldn't see me. And all of a sudden, I saw a light coming towards me. When I saw the light, I thought it was a car. Because in Romania and in Italy, they always try to run me over with cars. So I thought, they found me here too.
Dar n-a fost mașină,
but it was not a car.
Că lumina m-a cucerit,
the light surrounded me.
Și din lumina m-a auzit aceeași voce.
And out of the light I heard the same voice.
Era același înger.
It was the same angel.
Dumitru, de ce ești disperat?
Dumitru, why are you so despaired?
De ce m-ai pedepsit așa de tare?
Why did you punish me so harshly?
Ce am făcut eu?
What did I do?
Ce nu m-ai lăsat pe mine în pușcărie?
Why couldn't you let me stay in prison?
Familia avea unii să stea.
But my family would have had a home.
Zic, eu n-am unii în pleca cap.
I don't have a bed to lay my head down on.
De ce m-ai adus aici?
Why was I brought here?
Dumitru, am adus aici că țara asta va arde.
Dumitru, I brought you to this country because this country will burn.
Și m-ai dus să mă ard aici și nu m-ai lăsat să mor în pușcărie în țara mea.
So why did you bring me here to burn? Why didn't you let me die in jail in my own country?
Dumitru, taci.
He said, Dumitru, be quiet.
Urcă-te lângă mine.
Get beside me.
Ce aparat a avut? Nu.
I don't know what the device was.
M-a tras lângă el.
But he pulled me beside him.
Mi-a arătat toată California.
And he showed me all of California.
Ce-ți arăt?
Do you see what I've shown you?
E Sodoma și Gomorra.
This is a Sodom and Gomorrah.
Păcatul lor a ajuns înaintea lui Dumnezeu.
Their sins have reached God.
Și Dumnezeu a hotărât să-i pedepsească pe
foc. And God has decided to punish them by fire.
M-a dus și mi-a arătat Las Vegas.
He came and showed me Las Vegas.
Aici e Sodoma și Gomorra.
This is a Sodom and Gomorrah.
Într-o zi va arde.
And one day it will burn.
Mi-a arătat New York.
He came and showed me New York.
Aici e New York.
This is New York.
Aici e Sodoma și Gomorra.
This is a Sodom and Gomorrah.
Într-o zi va arde.
In one day it will burn.
M-a dus și mi-a arătat Florida.
And then he showed me Florida.
Aici e Florida.
This is Florida.
Aici e Sodoma și Gomorra.
This is a Sodom and Gomorrah.
Într-o zi va arde.
And in one day it will burn.
Da, cu mine ce ai să faci?
You've been listening to the Wake Up America message with Dimitru Dudeman. For a copy of this very important message, please go to our website at handofhelp.com. Never before in the history of our country has our nation been in more jeopardy than now. Please order a copy of the video Wake Up America at the handofhelp.com website and get the warning out while we still have time. The Light of Truth radio broadcast with Michael Boldea.
Good evening, everyone. Gene Schmidt filling in for Mike Boldea. And Mike is spending time with his family tonight, so I will be doing the broadcast. And my prayer tonight is that God will give us a good insight as to the issue of abortion in the United States. And the ramifications of what's going on with the New York bill, what's happened in Virginia with Governor Northam, and what may be happening in other states around the country. It's an issue that is permeating every avenue of our society, and sadly to say, statistically, is the greatest Holocaust to ever happen in our country. And tonight I'm going to share statistics about the abortion, and since 1973, of course, when Roe versus Wade was enacted, the killing of the preborn has been legalized in America. And so we want to spend time talking about an issue that I believe will easily one day bring God's judgment on our country. And as everyone may be aware of Dimitri Dudeman's message for America and what God said, the four areas of the United States that the Lord said would be judged heavily by God would be what? New York, Florida, Las Vegas, and California. And needless to say, we're heading into that territory where the United States sin in our country has reached such an eclipse. And I believe for sure will bring on one day God's judgment. And if you've been hearing Mike's shows on Thursday night, he's been sharing a lot of what's been going on politically around the country. And so the show's been good to educate us and to kind of get a perspective of what's going on and why the church needs to wake up and stand up and be proactive in fighting and battling, you know, what is causing our country to fall. And on a good note tonight, I do want to bring people up to speed that we've been battling in a county next to my hometown where our Hand to Help office is in Dodge County. We've been praying and that the strip clubs in the area would shut down. And there's been three of them. And I can report tonight that two of the strip clubs have shut down and are now out of business. And the third one we're praying would eventually as well shut down. I had a meeting Tuesday night in Juneau, Wisconsin, with the leaders in the area, in that area, about repurposing the third building that's still operating and seeing it used to be a multi-purpose building with a church and Christian activities, faith and family-friendly activities as well. But either way, keep that in prayer. We have a motto in our county, not in our town, and we strongly believe that we do not want sex trafficking and strip clubs and porn shops in our town, and we've been praying and really calling on God to clean up our town, our area, and our county, and it has caught the attention of the state and leaders in the state. We've done three rallies in Wisconsin in our area against sex trafficking because two of the strip clubs literally had gals that were trafficked in them. And over 800 people have attended the three rallies that we have had. I wrote a song called Not in Our Town, and it's a song meant to be an anthem to proclaim that we want only decency in our community. And by God's grace and God's power, we will see that happen. So tonight we are going to talk again about the issue of abortion. And I want to just start with the statistics of abortion and how prevalent it is. And so I'm going to just read this. Since 1973, when Roe versus Wade was decided, over 57 million babies have been denied the right to life. This tragedy is a devastating mark upon our culture. And even more sickening is that there's an entire industry profiting from each child killed in the womb. So we have 57 million aborted babies in the United States and since 1973. And so it's a terrible Holocaust. And we need the church to get involved again in the issue and battle, pray. And so before I get involved in this bill from New York, I want to just say that February 28th, we are going to have a day of prayer for life. We call it Stand for Life, and we're going to take a day of fasting, and we are going to call on God to invigorate and inspire and try to refire up the church to get involved and stand for life. Sad to say, as Mike's been saying on his program, many times people are indifferent or not, being proactive in their area. So New York bill, the state assembly bill, state of New York, was sent to me the other day by a brother. And it is incredible what is in this bill. It's literally by the Senate or the Assembly of New York. It is called the Reproductive Health Act. And I want to read the different points of this Reproductive Health Act. It's alarming what's in it. Section 25989A, policy and purpose. The policy and purpose is dealing with abortion. Point 1 of Article 25A of the Reproductive Health Act. Every individual has the fundamental right to choose or refuse contraception or sterilization. Point two, every individual who becomes pregnant has the fundamental right to choose to carry the pregnancy to term, to give birth to a child, or to have an abortion, pursuant to this article. I'm amazed they use the wording fundamental right when everything having to do with abortion is against the Bible and against God's word. Point three, the state shall not discriminate against, deny, or interfere with the exercise of the rights set forth in this section in the regulation or provision of benefits, facilities, services, or information. So you have them stating that abortion is a fundamental right, and the state will not discriminate against people that want to do that. Point three, the state also, a healthcare practitioner licensed, certified, or authorized under Title VIII of the Education Law, acting within his or her lawful scope of practice, may perform an abortion. So it doesn't necessarily mean just doctors. Somebody with apparently a certified certification under whatever is called, whatever is included in Title VIII of the New York Education Law, can perform an abortion. Also, it goes on to say, when according to the practitioner's reasonable and good faith professional judgment based on the facts of the patient's case, the patient is within 24 weeks from the commencement of pregnancy, or there is an absence of fetal viability, or the abortion is necessary to protect the patient's life or health. And it goes on to say, this article shall be construed and applied consistent with and subject to applicable laws and applicable and authorized regulations governing healthcare procedures. We do know that the law also allows abortion up to the ninth month, and Mike has been sharing about that. So we're going to go on to read more parts of this. Now, they're redefining in this law as well. They're taking out homicide, and abortion no longer will be considered and is not considered a form of homicide in the New York Penal Code. So it says this, homicide and related offenses in the law, and now they've scratched out abortion, which means there was a time in New York law when abortion would be defined as homicide and be subject to laws that deal with murder and et cetera. They have taken out the wording of abortion, the killing of an unborn child with which a female has been pregnant for more than 24 weeks has been slashed out, so that's no longer murder. Abortion in the first degree or self-abortion in the first degree is no longer considered under the Homicide Code of New York law. And that's all been struck out. And now the abortion in the second degree is defined in Section 125.40 of the Penal Law. Abortion in the first degree is defined. That is now been struck down in the New York law, and none of that in the second degree, et cetera, is considered homicide or murder. So abortion in New York law is considered legal, and where once they defined it as murder and under the homicide codes, it is no longer. It's all been struck down and struck out. And going on, they go on to pretty well go over the law where they've changed the wording of what's involved so that it would, in the old days, would have been murder. And now here's people's reaction to this bill. Let me just go to the point, because I've got quite a bit to share about it tonight, so bear with me. So I am going to just go to the people's reaction. This is what some of the people say about the bill that went on the New York website. If you tell a lie long enough, soon you will think it's truth. Poorly written bill. It does not only say only if the mother's health or life is at risk. Instead, it says, or which changes the meaning of the bill you read that can absolutely kill a baby up to birth. People go on to say, many of the people are upset about the bill. And if a doctor deems the mother's mental health to be at risk, this law certainly allows for the baby to be killed. There's no provision for sufficient condition in the newly written law. The moment a woman makes the decision to carry a baby, her right to kill it is forfeited. She must take responsibility for her decision and see it through till the end. Anyone who thinks otherwise is only giving irresponsibility credibility. Believe it or not, on the New York website, it is amazing how many people are against the bill. And there's been a bit of an outcry around the country against the bill. And so we have to look at a few things tonight. Ask yourself this, you know, where's the church? That's what Mike's been preaching. Where's the church? Where is the church not only having an outcry against this infanticide bill, but Mike said it well the other day, and we've been talking about it. He said Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity have made a louder stink against this bill than the church. And it's sad that the body of Christ does not wake up and realize that America's on borrowed time and that our inaction is sin and our silence is sin. And God, number one, talks about the sanctity of life throughout the Bible. In Job, where God says, you know, I created life in the womb. And you listen to an overriding argument that Mike makes on his Thursday night shows, is the church is quiet and silent and not speaking up and speaking out. And this is such a holocaust in God's sight that it should cause every Christian and every church to say, we've had enough. We need to oppose this on every level that we can, including calling congressmen, our legislatures. Yes, church people should do that. Yes, we should show up at an abortion clinic and pray and try to witness to the gals. And yes, we need to defend life. I have a friend in Milwaukee named Matt Tuella. He started a ministry called Missionaries to the Preborn. And Wisconsin had so many abortion clinics, and the industry was, the clinics were in so many cities, and Matt got his ministry together and rallied people throughout Wisconsin to picket and to pray in front of those clinics. And almost all of them were shut down. And ultimately, they had a rally in Wisconsin, a pro-life rally in Milwaukee, where 10,000 people showed up. And it caused a big move of God in Wisconsin. The church, many of them were involved. Many of them were active. Many of them were proactive in standing against this evil. And we are created by God to do what? Good works. We're God's mouthpiece. We're God's voice. We're God's hand and feet, the Lord's hand and feet. And it's time that we stand up and do something. And we're advocating that Thursday, February 28th, all those listening tonight and all those on YouTube, please take that day, fast and pray to God, that God will intervene and the church will wake up and people will become proactive in not only the issue of abortion, but seeing Roe versus Wade overturned. And Trump's had two Supreme Court picks. Recently, there was a law or a court case that went to the Supreme Court about some strict abortion law, I believe, in Louisiana. And the two picks that Trump picked, it was a law that was going to hopefully be strong enough to shut down most of the clinics. It was in Louisiana or Houston, Texas. I'm sorry, I don't quite know the town, but I do know the law went to the Supreme Court. and both of Trump's picks voted that for the restriction of the abortion practice, and that and Justice Roberts, of all people, the head guy, voted for the clinics to not have these restrictions. A guy that claims church affiliation. And this is what's terribly wrong in America, is that we're losing our what I would call convictions. Whether we're a judge in a local court or a judge on the Supreme Court, or whether we're in a county office, if we go to a church and we name the name of the Lord, we should absolutely be 100% pro-life. Now, I'm going to tell you tonight, I don't believe in 95% or 90% pro-life. You're either 100% pro-life or you're not pro-life. God is 100% pro-life. And we need to look at the Bible and stand up and say, we have to be what I would call battle ready to get in the fight, like we've been doing with the strip clubs. Are we going to let 3 strip clubs operate in Dodge County when my town has 27 churches next door? And this has been going on for 15 or 20 years. And because God gave us a big victory in my hometown 2 years ago, when we formed a small coalition of leaders and started going against a club in my town that was trying to bring in a strip show and other various evil things. And we battled and we worked with our city leaders. And today that club is gone and the building's for sale. It's when Christians do something and move out and walk in God's authority and advocate for a cause, God wants to bless and give us victory and give us favor. I do not believe the church should, number one, be silent, and also I don't believe we would lose these battles. I believe if the church that claims to be the evangelical church, all the people that claim I'm born again and I've got Christ in my life and my Lord, I believe numerically we would get some big victories if we all stood up together and battled together, if we all fought together, if we all united. But sometimes churches can't even get along in their local community. They fight over what denominational fighting and disunity and come on, we've got to be working and praying. While we've got this window of time in America, we've got to be out doing what? God's work, God's bidding. Soldiers of what? The cross. Timothy says, do what? Endure hardness as a good soldier of Christ. But soldiers get in battle, and soldiers fight, and soldiers are God's, army. Not only does he have an angelic army, he has an army with his people in the church. And with these strip clubs next door, we went from our hometown of Watertown battling to setting up a night of prayer and worship in Dodge County where these clubs were. And God gave some visions that we would have great victory to my wife, which I do believe in visions. Come on, I believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. And God gave a word to another brother. And since we've had 3 months of prayer in Dodge County, 2 clubs are shut down. What would happen if we pray in front of an abortion clinic? Number one, we could witness to the gals. Number two, we have authority. We can pray, God, you send your power and your strength and give victory in seeing the funding and the shutting down of those clinics. God can use a lot of ways to stop evil. But many times, as Matt's group did when they went to the clinics and protested, prayed, many times many of these girls would be convicted and not walk in and keep their baby. That's one reason to go to a clinic and advocate for life. Another reason is that sometimes the doctor himself that would perform the abortion, he would get saved and he would shut down the clinic. Because where Christians go and Christians are, What's the Bible say? Christ is with us. So if Christ is with us, surely we have the power and authority to advocate and pray and where evil is. And we are told to what? Go and win souls, win the lost. And we're told to go and be truth tellers and soldiers of the cross. If this infanticide law that New York passed, which, by the way, I would urge everyone listening, call Governor Cuomo's office and give him a call and let him know how evil this law is and what he did was very, very wrong and against the Bible. You might say that's a waste of a call. No. Take time and Google the New York Governor's office in New York State and give him a call. And I would even look at the assembly people that passed that bill that were laughing in the chamber and clapping in jubilee when Mike mentioned 2 weeks ago on his broadcast how they were rejoicing in this infanticide bill being passed. You know what? I would go so far to say is look their names up and send them an email and write to them and go, as a child of God, this is murder. This is wrong. You don't know who God will convict and who will God challenge to say, you know what, this is wrong. And we can't assume that people that are evil and do evil can never be changed or convicted. Sometimes the Lord has to send us to them, many times us to them, to write a letter or an email and get active and say, you know what, this is against the Bible and against God. And then going on, the governor of New York, or rather Virginia, Governor Northam, after New York passed the bill, he went so far as to say that the possibility exists that the baby could be out of the womb in delivery mode and still be put to death. And President Trump, in his State of the Union address a few nights ago, brought both of these, you know, situations up. And President Trump made it clear that they are going to look into a federal law that would overturn New York's infanticide law and thankfully Virginia's attempt to have a law like that failed and didn't even go past their house. But the governor goes to what church? What church does Governor Northam go to? Would you believe a Baptist church? Yes, he's Baptist. He goes to a Baptist church, evangelical church, and out of his mouth is coming the approval of killing a child in delivery mode. How do you say you've got God and God's spirit in you and have that kind of vile sentiment? And that's not worse. I looked it up, not only where he goes to church, but because after the fact of what he did, then, of course, some research was done, and he was found to have, in a yearbook back in high school, done a blackface deal where he painted his face black and had a Ku Klux Klan hood on. And there were major attempts after that to get him out of office. I personally believe his desire to approve of infanticide should have got him out of office. And, you know, not only did he do that, then come to find out the lieutenant governor's assaulted two women in Virginia, then to come find out the guy, another third rung of the tier, also was involved in the whole blackface episode. Needless to say, in Virginia, it's a mess. And Governor Northam, just for the fact that he wanted a child killed in delivery, not before delivery, but after delivery, and he's a Baptist. And you know what his pastor said? Brother Northam, you've had a really rough week. Just come to church and get loved on. I'm going to tell you straight out, that is vile in front of God, that the pastor does not have enough fortitude to greatly rebuke Northam, the governor who goes to his Baptist church. And I'm telling you what, the Bible says, woe unto them that strengthen the hands of evildoers. Woe. And this is the condition America's in, that even Christians today are cowering, backing down, not standing up the right way and proper way for the things of God. You know, many times we've brought up examples on the Thursday night show. Mike and has brought up the example of what happened with Hillsongs a few years ago, 2 or 3 years ago in May, when they had literally a women's conference of 500 women, and the youth or the music guy came out in his underwear trying to make a come out as the naked cowboy, and then the worship gals were dressed as Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders. And this is happening in the church, and it's no wonder the church isn't standing up and being a loud opposer of abortion and infanticide and homosexual marriage and all these things that are causing America to have, what, numbered days. And so, yes, Northam goes to a Baptist church, and now there's other states looking at enacting the New York law. And it's time that we stand in the gap, like Isaiah says. And, you know, it gets to be probably some people go, I'm tired of hearing what's wrong. You know, I'm tired of hearing, you know, what's going to happen to America. And I'm tired of hearing, you know, the ills of the day. But guess what? Think about God, what he's seeing. What's God's take on what's going on in America? Because it's not pretty what God thinks. You know, you look at Revelation 18, a country that's killed 57 preborn children. God says in Revelation 18, how this mighty Babylon has fallen in 1 hour and become the home of every foul spirit and unclean bird. So America, that claims to be this somewhat country of faith, God says you are full of what? Evil spirits, unclean spirits, and God looks at it different than a lot of people. You know, God looks at America as in a fallen state, and God looks at the murder of the preborn as murder. God looks at gays getting married as vile, and we have to look at the things in the same light that God does. And we have to abhor evil, do what's what? Good. And it's time that we as a church, you know, we're coming up to an election year in 2 years. And I would hate to see a liberal candidate win presidency, because I believe then they are going to try to slam their evil agenda down our throat. I'm telling you what, this tide of evil in America is they want to force the church into literally being, you know, put in jail if we say homosexuality is a sin or gay marriage is a sin. California 2 years ago tried to make a law that pastors that preached against homosexuality would have to register and go to their local county buildings and register, and they were bordering on wanting to pass a hate crime against that. And New York, just as well, after their infanticide bill, they made another law, passed another bill, that if you discriminate, you know, and it's basically a hate crime, you know, that they're trying to force Christians and faith-based organizations to settle for these vile laws. Well, I'm going to tell you tonight that Dimitri Dudeman's prophecy is coming true. And God's looking for repentance in America. God's looking for America to not only repent, but have fruits of repentance. And, you know, the blood of the innocents has reached the Lord in heaven, and it will not go without God's response. You know, you look at the weather. You look at just what's going on in the United States. We're at $22 trillion debt. And that debt climbs much higher. The day will come when America's insolvent. And in one day, the house of cards can fall. You look at about 2 months ago when Putin said, we've got a nuclear missile called the Poseidon. What's it capable of doing? It's a 100-megaton nuclear missile that you launch underwater at the coasts of America. 100 megaton. That's so huge that the area it would hit, the thought is it would take decades for that area to not be radiated. And Russia's been saying lately, who's the enemy now? America to Russia. You know, when they, 8 or 9 months ago, when Putin had his conference in Moscow, and he was talking about some military advancements in the Russian military machine, they showed a video, animated video of a nuclear warhead or a missile splitting into 10 warheads, and all 10 were falling where? On Florida. Google it and look at it. Just type in animated video of nuclear attack on Florida from Russia. And so, friends, it's getting closer. And we have to intercede and stand in the gap and fight while we have this window that Mike's been saying for 2 years, that Trump getting elected has been a window, a reprieve, not a pardon. God giving us time. But then you have a Baptist governor who wants to literally kill children post-birth. And then, of course, he backtracks. Oh, I didn't say that. That never came out of my mouth, although you can Google it and see that he was quoted as saying those things. Many times what's sad is when you see even politicians that are enacting these laws, they go to a church. They have some form of church they go to. But guess what? What's the church become where they go? How is it the church of God when you're the people coming out of it are worse than the world? How's the Church of Christ when people can't even be pro-life that are sitting in the pew? And you know what? This is. I also asked Dimitri, why is judgment coming to America? And he said, because of the sins in the church. Friends, the sins in the church. Mike Baldea has every right on Thursday night to blow a trumpet and say, church, wake up. Because that's God's message. The world is the world. The world's already wicked. The world's already lost. But what happens when the church gets lost? And what happens when the church loses its moral fortitude and decency? Guess what? Now, what happens is what would have happened to Nineveh had Nineveh not repented. And you know what? How long will God's prophetic warnings go on? The day will come when God will give those final warnings. And then America will be punished. And you know what? You can see what Dimitri Dudeman said since 1984, civil revolution. Where are we at? We're divided as a country, you know. And not only racially, we're divided politically. Every day you read in the paper where Trump is this evil, evil person. Yet when he talked the other night at the State of the Union address, I haven't heard too many presidents talk about how to defend life, preborn children, like he did. You know, he's also been known to read the Bible, and he's had pastors counsel him. And I guarantee you, Obama was not pro-life. You know, he was completely pro-abortion, pro-gay marriage. In fact, under his nose, gay marriage was enacted by the Supreme Court. And so Mike has a right. How many voices are out there proclaiming trouble's coming? And when you pass laws to kill preborn children, not only up to birth, but even after birth, like the crazy Virginia governor did, then you know the writing's on the wall. You know, I guarantee you Belshazzar, what he start doing, started using the temple items and defiling them, started using the items in the temple and drinking out of the vessels. And then the writing came on the wall, a hand out of nowhere. Many, many, teko eupharsin. What's it mean? He didn't know. So he calls for the who? Those, the seers, the people that know pretty much divine will. And they, nobody could, not divine will, but the idol gods of the day. Not divine will, but the idol, the gods that they made. And them guys couldn't figure it out. So then he goes, there's got to be someone in the kingdom that knows the writing. And finally they get, yes, there's this one man that serves God. And by the way, when you're a soldier for the Lord, people will know who you are because you make your voice loud enough so that they are aware that you really believe what you believe and stand for what you stand for. They go, his name's Daniel. And the king goes, bring Daniel. And they bring Daniel, and he interprets the writing. And he basically says, oh, king, the God that I serve has shown me what that writing is and what it means. And you know what? It wasn't good. God told him in that writing, your kingdom is ended. The days of your kingdom are over. You know, that he had done evil against God and his kingdom is over and will be taken over by someone else. And Belshazzar lost the kingdom. And God allowed exactly what he said. You know, your kingdom has been found in the balance and found what? Wanting. That's not good. And look at America. Look at Russia. Russia has family value laws. You know what they made? After America passed the law by the Supreme Court for gay marriage, Russia made 3 family value laws. And here's what they were. 1, we will not allow gay literature to be sold publicly in Russia. 2, we will not allow gay pride parades in Russia. 3, we will not allow pornographic materials in the public eye in Russia. And then they made a flag with a father and mother and 3 kids. And they flew that flag after Obama and the Supreme Court approved gay marriage in America. So this is a country that we took the Bibles to. This is a country that was once communist, a country that was not serving God, at least from the top tiers down. And God has made America now an example to the world, or will make America an example to the world of what happens when you walk away from God. One day, when the nuclear weapons do hit America, as God said, when California, New York, Las Vegas, and Florida are punished, the Bible says from the oceans they will see the smoke of her burning, and they will say, alas, alas, what a great city. She was once a great city, now has turned into what? A heap, an example. And they will hiss, the Bible says, at the smoke of her burning. And you know what? Today many churches don't want to hear that message. I believe more do than 20 years ago, because now you've got to see the writings on the wall. If you can't see it now, then you're very blind. 1, we're divided, as Demetrius said. There'll be a civil war. Where? Starting from the middle of the country. And this government will what? Be fighting the people. Can that happen now in America? Yes, it can. When will it happen? Only God knows. But I guarantee you, we're divided. And we're divided right down the middle. Not only with racial tension. You've got Antifa. You've got far-out liberal kooks that want to fight, you know, conservative groups. You've got communist and fascist groups vying for position. You've got Muslim people now in Congress in Washington, D.C. that come against Israel, like the lady did, Omar, from Minnesota. You've got areas of America and Michigan that want to have what? Sharia law. Are you getting the message that Jeremiah says, I will fill you with locusts and caterpillars, and they will what? Raise a shout against you. Who's going to do that? The very people that bring their idols and false gods to America. Raise a shout against us. Because America let her guard down. and did not watch the walls like prophets do and vessels of God. And the church should be the loudest purveyor of what's right and what we should stand for in our country. The church should be loudly advocating for America to repent and for people that sit in a church to know their Bible and to stand for what's right in front of God and not be a false convert like Governor Northam, who there's no way he can know God when he's for abortion up to not only the day of the birth of the child, but after that. How can you produce someone like that and say that they're a convert of the gospel? Yeah, I guess you'd say I'm a little bit upset about it. But so is Mike. And you know what? What would George Washington do today if he came back? Hey, George, let's take you to a Planned Parenthood clinic. Well, what did they do there? Kill the preborn. By the way, they get their money from the government. Let's take George Washington to a gay parade and see what he says. Oh, and by the way, you can put on a Head and Shoulders commercial and see two men kiss. Let's have George Washington see that. Or let him watch American TV for a couple hours, full of witchcraft and sorcery and vile garbage. Or take George Washington to, you know, a gay marriage ceremony. Or a church with a rainbow flag in front. See where how far we've fallen as a country? And God, who's holy and righteous, sees this go on every day. The murder of the innocents, 57 million. Laws made so against the Bible, they're demonic, they're evil, devil's laws. You know, gay marriage is the devil's law. Abortion is the devil's law. Nothing to do with God. You know? And I'm amazed that before 1973, when life was sacred and valuable, you know, before the what they call the modern revolution, in the, you know, life was valuable. It wasn't such a thing as euthanasia, infanticide, and abortion. And gay marriage. But you know what? God, knowing where America would go, sent prophets to warn this country. Demetra Dudeman, Dave Wilkerson, Henry Groover, and other brothers and even sisters warning America. And the way God would have them warn, even where George Washington had a vision of the end of America. And so, friends, it's time that we, what, blow a trumpet. Stand strong. Be about God's work. Be soldiers of the cross. No, I'm not advocating shooting up a clinic or doing something evil like that. But I sure advocate to pray that God would allow the church or that the church would stand up and be a voice of change and truth. I brought it up, you know, to it. I'm a Christian musician, so I work with Christian artists. And I brought up the fact that about 3 or 4 weeks ago, a very well-known Christian music artist, Lauren Daigle, was on Ellen DeGeneres' TV show. And they and basically did, yes, a Christian song, but the next day she was on a radio show and the announcer asked her, is homosexuality a sin? And she couldn't say it was a sin. Top Christian music artist can't say homosexuality is a sin. We are in bad shape. We are in trouble if we cannot say that's a sin. And then about 2 weeks later on another radio show, she said, I can no longer say I'm a Christian artist. I just want to be an artist. You know what, friends? When truth falls in the streets and God can no longer find truth of the level that he calls it truth, a nation is in big trouble. And, you know, look at 2019, 57 million preborn babies murdered. Nobody ever think God will not punish for that. The day will come, like God showed Demetra Dudeman, in 1 hour, this country will fall and be punished by fire. And you know what? You look at what God showed Demetra Dudeman, it affects millions and millions of people. California, New York, Vegas, and Florida that God showed him one day would be attacked by a nuclear assault by Russia and China. And only the ones living a clean life would be protected. Hollywood. In your face, Hollywood. We're going to do what we want, the way we want, how we want. That's not what God says. Same with San Francisco. One day that the Golden Gate Bridge will flip over in an earthquake. And one day God will shake California. And I guarantee you, Hollywood won't look the same. You know? Does he? And God may allow another 911. What does it take to wake America up? We're going worse than we were. We're worse. In 1984, when Dudeman started giving his message, we didn't have infanticide, but we've got it now. We didn't have gay marriage, but we've got it now. We did not have the division that we have now and polarization of good versus evil. If you're any kind of politician and you defend life and you defend God's law, you're almost considered a kook in 2019 America. And men kissing men on commercials, and women kissing women, and shows that try to glorify homosexuality left and right. And crime, and rampant crime. Assaults and murders like unprecedented in America. It's time the church says, you know what, not in our town. We need a God-fearing. We want our town to be decent. And so February 28th, we're taking a day of fasting and praying for life. I wrote a song called Stand for Life. The last 2 weeks, I've been playing it out as I travel around the country. And it's resonated with people. In the lyrics of the song, it says, who will stand for life when they cry out for death? Who will stand for life when they want to take away their first breath? Who will stand for life and not back down until every life is allowed? That's the song's chorus, you know? And that's what the church has to do. The young generation in the church, not just the older generation. And we need converts that know their Bible. You know, we love fashionably large mega churches. We somehow feel the larger, absolutely, that just must be a great move of God. But guess what? It's not necessarily true. There's some times when small churches of 50, 100 people, 20 people know their Bible better than some people in mega churches. When we build the church around what's good for people when it comes to pleasing the flesh, hey, take the cross out. Don't have hymnals, surely don't sing the old hymns. We don't want people to be, you know, upset. We want to be so modern and relevant and millennial friendly that you basically walk into a concert hall with nice shows, lights, great video, but no Holy Ghost power. Guess what? You build your church on that, you build it on sand. And it's no wonder then you can have a convert like Mr. Northam, governor of Virginia, that absolutely don't stand for the Bible or God. And you know what? Let God call them guys out. God will deal with Cuomo in New York. It won't be good. If he doesn't repent, it will not be good. So we're going to pray February 28th to stand for life and pray for our country. You know, because as Brother Dudeman said, you know, it will come when they least expect it. We think that, you know, the economy, yeah, it's good right now. But in 2008, it almost tanked. And, you know, people prayed 2015, 14. Many people prayed around the country for God to make a change. We could have had Clinton, and guarantee you, by now, this country wouldn't look like it does now. Had Clinton got elected, I believe, as Mike has said, we would be in extremely bad shape. The liberal people of that level, they literally would fight the church tooth and nail and fight against our values. Our values are eroding. You know, in public school, can you really have a Bible study where once they prayed before school started? No, we got to separate church and state. Can't have church in the schools. And yet in the last 10 years, more kids have died from gun violence in schools than in the whole history of our educational system. Take God out. We don't want God in that. We can't mention Jesus in school. You know what? Call your local school superintendent and call the principals of your high schools and find out if you can do a Christian concert in the school. Some, yes, still allow it. But you know what? It's getting to be rarer. Find out if you can have prayer in school or a Bible study. Yeah, maybe over lunch hour. But it's becoming much more secularized. Colleges as well. And friends, I'm telling you what, I'm not joking here. When you start signing laws where you can kill the baby up to the date of birth, you become reprehensible in front of God. When you sign a law that homosexuals can marry, it sends up a stench to heaven. When you try to come against a baker in Colorado for not wanting to bake a cake because he opposed gay marriage, he's got to have his lawsuit, or he has to fight all the way to the Supreme Court. And thankfully, he got victory. When you put Kim Davis in jail, like in Kentucky, what was her crime? Didn't want to sign a gay marriage certificate. So the Democratic governor, the attorney general, district court decided she broke the law, and she goes to jail. But thankfully, she doesn't back down. And then God allows her to get out of jail and has a big testimony. But look what she had to go through, all because she didn't want to sign a gay marriage certificate. But how many Christian clerks around America signed those gay marriage certificates? Guess what? Your Christianity don't stop at the door of the church. It starts when you walk out of the church. That's when your faith is tested, tried, and in evidence. Everyone can be Christian in the church. It's when you get out of the church, you know, stand, fight, battle, pray. Walk with God at a level that he gives victory. Then strip clubs were shut down. Porn shops were shut down. Abortion mills were shut down. And God will elevate the church. You know, and we have to realize that we have this window of time. We don't know how long it is or how long it'll be. But we have to utilize the time and redeem it while we have it. Again, stand for light. Let your church know, friends know, February 28th, we're taking a day of fasting and prayer to God, the ultimate source of our power and strength, to come against abortion. Not in our strength, but in the Lord's. You know, as Jehoshaphat said, the battle belongs to the Lord. It is God's battle. And we're fighting for the very fabric of America. The fabric that should strengthen America should be the church. The fabric that should strengthen America should be God's people. And there's a remnant, and there's people of God everywhere. But overall, when churches have people that go and sit in the pew and then get out of the church, and okay with marching in a gay pride parade, or okay with endorsing infanticide, how do you have people walk out of the church like that? I scratch my head and go, what is wrong with our preaching? What is wrong with our gospel? That if we don't preach it in the power and truth and strength that God wants, we will have people walk out of the church as worldly as when they walked in. You know? I will tell you this, yeah, this day is coming. You know, we quote the Finneys, and we quote the, you know, we quote men of God, but you better study men of God back in the day. A lot of them were highly persecuted. Friends, it's time we stand for God and the values of God and not back down. And we say not in our town. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast, The Light of Truth with Michael Baldea. If you would like to order a copy of today's broadcast, please visit our website at handofhelp.com. If you have questions about our ministry, you can email us at handofhelpoffice@aol.com or simply call us at 920-206-9910. God bless you.